Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Flipper. Then they cook and roll the whole halftime. Hit him with a chopper, breathe a last time. Flatline. Beat the block down when I turn up the Alpine. Smoke a 3-5, sell a halftime at halftime. Cook it's halftime.
Halftime?
Halftime. Switch. Keep a little steel by my belt line. If it leave you with an outline. If it ain't, you'll only see me at halftime.
Welcome to the Get In Podcast, presented by 4th and Dude. Brought to you by EagleInsider.com and Armchair Media. Season 4, UVA Week. The Eagles got back in the win column versus a dangerous Louisville squad on Saturday, overcoming a ton of adversity and stuffing the Birds by a score of 34-27. BC improves to 6-4 on the year, 5-4 in conference, and are set up for a chance for the first winning record above 500 in the ACC since 2009. On today's episode, we'll recap the thriller versus Louisville, put Jim Christian's job on trial for the fourth consecutive year, and preview the road trip to Charlottesville for the regular season finale.
First of all, I feel like saying it's just the fourth consecutive year is significantly underselling it. But Matt, I'll tell you what, it was more like Loserville on Saturday. You had a lot of good puns in your intro. You missed that one. I think the real question that America is asking right now is it too late for Denny Pancakes to win the Heisman, do you think?
I'll tell you what, Matt, you look at his QBR from Saturday, it's a 99.0. And I'll tell you what, this kid loves playing against Louisville. Look at this for an analytic. More like a Denny-lytic. Am I right?
That's pretty terrible. Nailed it. No, it's good.
13 completions, 5 touchdowns. Something like that. Something in that range. All he does is throw for touchdowns against Louisville. And we'll get to Denny in a second. But what a gamer that kid is. He embodies everything this team's all about. And I'll tell you what, a certain podcast host was right all along, it turns out there, huh, Matt?
Well, I don't know. We'll talk about that. I don't know if that's quite the case. I think he did a great job when called upon. I think it's still in general that we might not be holding on to the 6-4 record if he was our starter the whole time, but that's a different discussion.
He's the best backup in the country. We could say that. Is that
oh,
fair?
Yeah. No, I can definitely say that. Yeah, fully on board with that. So big show today. We got to talk Louisville. We got to talk UVA. We have to talk hoops, like you mentioned, which is, I don't think, going to be a fun conversation. But before we do that, a word from our good friends at Bet Online. Matt, postseason football is just around the corner. All teams in the NFL and college football are strutting their stuff to get ready for the playoffs as well as bowl season. You might not have been in a game this year, but you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online. Bet Online has gone the extra mile all season long to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to Bet Online today and use promo code Armchair to take advantages of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Matt, I will just kick it off with this. I know you're married to a doctor, so that basically, you know, gives you some medical some medical clout. Here's what I noticed. Djurkovic was not wearing a brace in the first half. He was wearing it in the second half, or at least when the injury happened. It was a very minor tweak, not a true non-contact. And then he was like standing on the sidelines the whole time, not, you know, pushing into the locker room. And now he's back first in the depth chart. What's your read as a medical expert on the status of Phil Djurkovic going forward?
Yeah, and I appreciate that you listen off the quals there. I obviously know a lot about, you know, medicine in general and bones and all that. Yep. And actually, we have a ton of doctors out there that are that we coordinated with on Twitter a little bit. Shout out to the Sleesman.
He's a doctor?
Yeah, oh, big time. Yeah,
I didn't know that. Okay,
he's an orthopedic surgeon, I believe. I think that means bones.
Bones.
So between, you know, the team doctor that we have at 4th and Dude, as well as some of you guys out there, we all thought it was an MCL. You know, anytime you get non-contact like that, it kind of scares the shit out of you. But it felt like an MCL. Obviously, that doesn't seem to be the case, or at least it's not as serious. And that's where I'm going to get exposed a little bit because You know, you talk about MCLs, you talk about ACLs. I think that's pretty serious generally. But Haas been saying that Jerko's x-rays look good, or MRIs, whatever the term is. And so it sounds like he's going to suit up. And part of me is a little bit disappointed because I would have loved to see Denny out there. That's kind of a joke. Obviously, the most important thing is Denny is Jerko, you know, is healthy. He's going to get back on the horse and he's good to go long term. That's obviously what matters here. But it was a little scary there for a bit there on Saturday, huh?
Yeah, I definitely will agree. And I think these end of season injuries are always weird. Like, obviously, for the sake of 2020, if it was a serious injury. And again, the individual player's health is obviously what matters the most, not wins and losses and all that. But if this was a season ending injury, you'd obviously rather it, you know, now when we're 6-4 than, you know, week two, because I frankly don't think we'd be 6-4, you know, if Grossel was under center. And that's no knock on him. I just think that a lot of what Jerko did was exceeded, you know, he really exceeded our expectations throughout the year. That said, the other side of it, you know, we want to talk half full, half empty, is that this end of season injury, I mean, now there's 10 extra weeks basically that you wouldn't have for a recovery. We saw that with AB a couple years ago. He had a late season injury and ended up, I think, being ready for opening day, but, you know, was basically out of all spring camp as well as, you know, most of the summer. So who knows? Again, the fact that he was never taken into the locker room, standing on the sidelines the whole time, that to me was encouraging. He did get an x-ray, not an MRI. And again, as a doctor, I feel like that feels like it's not too serious then, right? Like, wouldn't you get an MRI if you thought it was a ligament?
Right. Can you confirm MRI that? Is a ligament. X-ray would be right. A bone. And if it's not a contact, right. you typically don't break your leg just by standing on it, right? So
yeah. So I don't know why they didn't go for the MRI. Again, that's for you and the doctors to figure out.
Could be half speak too. I mean, that was just an Halfley's presser. So, you know, who knows? It could just be Halfley just saying words for the sake, or it could be some gamesmanship too. So now Bronco Mendenhall doesn't know what to think. No, but I think it's, you know, I think, you know, the point here is that, you know, not only is he, you know, obviously going to be good to go for Saturday, it sounds like, but, you know, long term, this is one of those injuries, and we saw it with AB, like, that's the last thing you want. You don't want a nagging injury. And I do love all the people on the message boards, and this drives me nuts. Everyone's got an opinion. It's like, oh, he should definitely sit out on Saturday if he's not 100%. Or no, he should play. It's a big game, and if he can gut it out, he should play. In my day, we used to play, you know, uphills both ways. It's no, you guys don't know anything, right? You guys have no idea what's going on in that locker room, what the team doctors are saying, what the x-rays or what the MRIs say. If he can play on it and won't do further damage and he can tough it out, then he's going to play. And if he can't, then he won't. It's that simple.
Yeah, it is pretty remarkable. I mean, we talk about the comparisons that he has to Roethlisberger and mm-hmm. just in general, his size, his toughness. I don't want to say he's injury prone because I don't in any way think that's fair, but it does feel like we're dodging a bullet, like seemingly every week with this, doesn't it? Like this feels like too often that we've had these at best, close calls.
Right. He puts himself in a position to get injured 5 times a game. And that's not a knock on him. It probably sounds like it is. That's not what I'm saying at all. We talked about it a couple weeks ago where it's like he holds onto the ball too long. It's just a fact. But he's able to, you know, escape pressure. And when he can extend plays, really, really good things happen. And so we'll take the bad with the good because the good's so good. But unfortunately, it means that, yeah, he's going to be more prone to taking big hits, to, you know, probably getting hit low and to, you know, staying way too long in that pocket. But he's a tough kid. We've seen him bounce back up countless times. This was the first game where he was really out for extended time outside of Clemson, right? So, you know, he is like Big Ben. He's going to tough it out. But, yeah, it's a bit of a ticking time bomb. Like, this could be bad at any second the way he plays.
Right. And I will say that I'm sure as a collective fan base, we all had our doubts when he stepped out and we saw Grossel come in.
Not me.
Matt, I feel like this is your segment. I'll give you as long as you want to just give all the praise that Denny rightly deserves for what was an absolutely phenomenal performance on Saturday.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for Denny. It was a great day for Denny and it was awesome, but it was an even better day for me. You talk about the vindication of all the haters in the off season. Everyone was just obsessed with Jerko Gate, right? And rightfully so. He's a big-time recruit. Obviously, he came in and backed it up. And he is QB1. There's no question about that. But I kind of felt like Denny got his name dragged through the mud a little bit and was forgotten about. And everyone was saying, you know, Denny kind of sucked last year. And that's actually not the case. He was thrown in a very difficult spot. We were a run-heavy team. And when the defense gave him something to throw at, he took advantage of it. And I went as far as to say, and this got laughed at, but if you normalize Denny's numbers in a normal offense where he had a normal number of pass attempts, he was like fifth in the conference in touchdown passes, something like that. If he got his touches, you talk about Cignetti too. Now, he's a guy that could have come in and really improved Denny from last year, right? I kind of thought that Denny would take a leap. It's clear that he has. He's been automatic this year. Small sample size, right? But still, hey, small. I mean, when he's come in very, very important spots, and he won us the game. So I don't want to hear any laughter there, Matt. But no, I mean, he really does. The leadership that you can tell he has on the sidelines, you know, every player on the team respects him. And it's rare where you have a kid like this that just, and Halfley said in the presser too, you know, he got his job taken, right? And he's still this positive influence. He's leading the QB room, and he's always, you know, breaking down the huddle and all that. He's just a great kid. And it's really great that kids like that get a chance like that to lead their team to victory. In a big win against the Louisville team that's a lot better than their record, in a what would have been, you know, really crushing loss for us. So, you know, those two consecutive touchdown drives that he led once Jericho went out, that won us the ball game. It's that simple. And just can't say enough good things about him, and already said it, but that is the best backup quarterback in the entire country.
Yeah, I think strictly on like a human level, that was the best story we've seen in the year. I think, again, like you said, a guy who, you know, had his presumptive job taken, but has clearly, and you could tell by the way the team was responding, especially on that, you know, 50-yard run he had, basically mm-hmm. the entire, you know, 80-man roster was sprinting down the sideline with him going absolutely nuts. You can tell the caliber of a person he is, you know, in terms of that locker room and the way he's respected and the way the guys rally around him. So that was great to see. Honestly, it was kind of our Rudy moment. If you get rid of the SEC fraud and the offsides penalty, I feel like we mm-hmm. kind of had the same thing going on there. But
I don't want to put him in the same sentence just because, you know,
no,
he's great.
No, of course. He's not a fraud.
Criminal and, right. Yes, correct.
Exactly. It really was an excellent story. But beyond that, he did play really well. He did everything he needed to do. He kept, you know, the ground game moving and you know, a couple of his touchdown passes, that Lewis catch was absolutely bananas, and it was a mm-hmm. good throw to make it happen. So he was really impressive. He looked a lot better, frankly, than I think what we saw out of him last year. But just overall, again, a great story and a great win. And the other thing, too, and we'll talk about Vegas in a little bit, how are we only one-point favorites in that game? Again, I know Louisville is better than their record, but that, to me, was criminal. And you know, obviously, we ended up covering relatively comfortably. And if Jerko was in, that may have, I guess it would have been about the same because he couldn't have done much better than what Denny had done there. But that game was really never in doubt.
Yeah, I think it was a bad matchup on paper, and whether Vegas knows that or not, or, you know, Vegas sets the line of what they think the public thinks. And it just is probably just a matter of when people see Louisville, they still think that they're not that bad. And when they see BC, they say, oh, they're not that good yet.
Sure.
Like the casual betting fan maybe doesn't know. The roles are a bit reversed, but, you know, from an X's and O's standpoint, or from a matchup standpoint, rather, you know, the fact they had a running quarterback, that probably cost us, you know, 6 points on the spread right there, just because we are awful with mobile quarterbacks. They have a couple of really, really good receivers. And while we do have a good secondary, we haven't proven that we can get consistent pass rush. And that's generally a recipe for disaster. So if I was handicapping the game, you know, I would have said that Louisville is going to put up some points. And, you know, BC has been a little hit or miss lately, right? And we're coming off a loss to Notre Dame. Before that, we didn't look good against Q's. So while I agree with you that on paper the one-point spread was criminal and we all benefited from it, you know, I could kind of see it. It was a big win. And that's a good Louisville team. The record doesn't show it. Satterfield's a great coach. They had the running back that opted out, but they still have an explosive offense. The defense is a lot better than you think. I think they're fifth or sixth, at least on the, I think, pass D. Their rush D is a bit of a sieve, but their pass D is one of the better ones in the conference. So it's a better Louisville team than you think. And the fact that we got a win there, I think with a backup, we didn't even talk about Bailey yet, but, you know, with a backup QB and the backup running back, I mean, yep. It's really, really, really incredible win.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I did have some fears coming in with the mobile quarterback. I think for the most part, he was contained. He obviously had a couple big runs, and one of the touchdown drives, you know, was basically exclusively, you know, him on the ground. I will say
he did have 130 yards. It was kind of a quiet.
It was a sneaky 130 yards. I was actually shocked when I saw that number because, again, yeah. Really, I do think outside of that touchdown drive where he, you know, banged his hand up, which is a quick sidebar. this is the at least third time that I counted this year that a backup quarterback came in after an injury to the opposing quarterback on like the 1 or 2 yard line. Everyone in the world knows that they are just going to hand the ball off and run it up the middle. Yet somehow we have just been completely gashed, and basically the running back has walked in untouched. That obviously happened again after he went out after the 20 plus yard run to get down to the two. So again, we won. I can't really complain too much, but just something to keep an eye on there.
Was it Mikael Cunningham or Malik Cunningham this time around?
That I don't know. So I play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back.
Do you remember last year he changed his name right before the BC game?
I don't remember that. Is this like a dream you had?
No, I'm pretty sure it's a real thing where I think he was Malik, and then minutes before kickoff last year, the announcers just mentioned in passing, oh, well, he used to be called Malik, but now he wants to go by Mikael. And now I think he switched back to Malik.
I was going
to
say it was definitely Malik. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of something to watch for going forward there. I think he'll probably want to stick with Mikael since, they beat us when he was Mikael, and now, Malik is, 0-1 against us, I guess. So, that's just something separate to watch out for going forward.
Yeah. That's a great point that I truly did not consider coming into this game. Mm-hmm. The other thing I do want to note, Tutu Atwell is still there, one of their wide receivers. Very talented
public enemy,
guy.
Public enemy number one of
Correct.
The program.
We don't forget. Nobody forgets. A reporter asked him a couple years ago, like, what do you see in the Boston College defense before the game? And he was like, a lot of slow people. And then we came up and he got like one catch, Zach Allen, publicly embarrassed him after the game. I was surprised that he didn't retire from football then and there. Apparently he was still kicking, made a couple nice catches, but always nice to get a win over public enemy number one.
No question. And that dude, he was calling like Will Harris slow. Like,
yeah, that was such a good secondary. Like last year, we could get away with it, right?
Yeah,
fine, fair. Exactly. I can live with that. But not the two years ago defense.
Yeah, no question. I do think, so let's take a look at the box score. And Louisville did beat us in virtually every category, at least offensively. So they had 50 more passing yards. They had 11 more rushing yards. This is a big stat. They converted 60% of their third downs compared to our 33%. I mean, you name it. And they were better than us. I mean, offensively, it's that simple. The one, obviously, statistic that we beat them on is the turnovers. And, as we keep saying, that stat matters more than any other stat in college football. You win the turnover battle, you have a pretty good shot to win the ball game. The fact that we forced, it was 3 turnovers, I think, to their 1.
Yep.
That proved to be the difference in the ball game. So I know I'm a broken record, but, this defense continues to show up when they have to. And I do just want to give Jamin Mews a shout out. This dude doesn't get nearly enough credit.
Agreed.
He forced that big time fumble early in the second quarter that Cam Horsley recovered. But he also, and no one's talking about this, he had that deflection to ice the game at the end. He got pressure to the quarterback and popped the ball up, and Sheeta came down with it, right?
Yep.
But it wasn't just this game. I mean, he had the interception against Duke in week 1. He had another one. I mean, he's always around the football when turnovers happen. So that's just a great guy to have. We love having guys like that on this defense, whether it's Hamp Cheevers, whether it's Lucas Dennis that one year. And he's a big hitter too. I mean, he's going to be a really good player. This is his first time with real playing time. And I think he's a junior, so I'm excited to see what he can do the next, 1 or 2 plus years, depending on how long he sticks around. Cause I think he could be, one of those guys that's playing on Sundays. That's how good I think he is.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing too is you really think about the Halfley effect. I know it's, big for guys like Nate Silver and other stat guys to just talk about the randomness to turnovers. And while there is an element there, and generally over the course of the year, they will normalize out to be pretty even, both for and against. I think, and I haven't looked at the numbers this year, but it just feels like game over game. That's an area where we are always dominating. And at a certain point, it is, you got to say it's not just random anymore. It's this defense, and Halfley's putting them in positions to do so. And you got to give a credit to the offense and Jerko as well. I think he's been, very smart with his decisions. I know in the first couple games we had some fumble issues, but otherwise, like, you do at this at a certain point tip your hat to the coaching staff and say this is not just a fluke anymore. Something is specifically happening here that is causing that. And again, frankly, if you look at the 6-4 record, I think there's a handful of those games that you could attribute, maybe not 100% directly, but a lot of credit goes to the fact that we had 2+ more turnovers than the other team. So it is something to watch, and we knew Halfley would come in and just generally really cause, I think, sparks on both the defensive and the offensive side of the ball. And I think this is a great example of that. And again, it's winning us ball games, which is really all any of us could ask for.
Second in the country and turnovers forced. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, and that's one of those things that Halfley, I know we got to move on here, but there's so much to dissect from this game. That's one of the things that Halfley said when he came in here is quick fix to the defense is, you know, making sure those guys' eyes are on the ball. You know, last year, remember the Kansas game? We always bring that up where our D-backs are running, you know, 50 yards backwards when it's a run play, right? They're just running with the receiver. You know, Halfley had a big emphasis on, you know, turn around. You're going to backpedal. You're going to keep an eye on the football. And when there's an opportunity to make a play, you're going to make it. And I think they're doing the same thing with stripping the ball. And, you know, all the credit in the world goes to the turnaround on this defense. I mean, you really can't say enough good things. And on that note, you know, this started to feel a little bit like the Florida State game from last year, right, where we kept settling for field goals instead of touchdowns, which is obviously a common theme this year. And it started, the game started to slip away. They started to kind of, you know, throw their weight around in the fourth quarter and just out-athlete us, right, with those back-to-back touchdowns. But then the defense stepped up in the last 2 minutes, whereas in Florida State last year, they certainly didn't. So this is one of those games that the Halfley effect fully won this one, I think, with that turnover that iced the game at the end.
Yeah, 100%. The only other, you know, kind of shout out I want to give throughout the game is the offensive line. They absolutely dominated from start to finish, and I think there's a huge credit to that. We talked about this throughout the year, that how disappointing it was early on in the season when they weren't, you know, playing like this. Not because they were playing poorly by any means, but because we knew how great they could be. So it is great, you know, for them and you know, just to, as a fan to watch, to see them hit their full potential. And it's not just obviously last week. It's been, you know, this way for you know, a couple months at this point. But that's really where we knew this offense would start. And to see it come together the way it has, to quote Steve Adazio, it is truly beautiful. Say that much.
No question at all. Couple half empties for me. Just we got to do it. Where's Hunter Long been? Hunter Long's been conspicuously absent.
Yeah.
The first four games, he averaged 8 catches for 90 yards. Since then, Matt, he hasn't broken the 4 catch or the 60 yard mark.
Yeah.
Now, this could be for a couple different reasons. It could be the fact that defense is, you know, starting to key in on him. I think it's more so the fact that we're starting to run the ball more and he's being used in a blocking capacity, which I think is overall positive. We want to get more balance, which is good. We've also had the emergence of C.J. Lewis, specifically in the red zone, right? So we haven't needed to rely on Hunter as much. But I'm hoping we get him more involved because he was on such a good trajectory to start the year. And I'm not saying he's not, but he just hasn't been productive receiving wise. So I'd like him to, you know, he was considered a top NFL pick and all, or, you know, first rounder for sure, right? Or at least top three rounder. I don't know how the draft works, but I'm hoping we can get him more involved, at least against UVA. And, you know, I think he's a big reason that, you know, we were successful in the red zone early on and we've sort of gone away from that. Our defenses have started to figure that out. So, you know, that's just a quick note on that. And then we already talked about the other one, but we gotta figure out these mobile quarterbacks. I mean,
yeah.
When you play Madden, you can just run the QB spy play, and that takes care of like whether you're playing.
Well,
Michael
they were
Vick.
Doing the spy, but they were doing with like not the fastest linebackers we have. They were running a spy pretty much all day, at least from what I was able to see.
Are you a McDuffie truther? Are you a McDuffie truther?
I'm not. I think he's a phenomenal player. I don't think it's fair though for him to go in a foot race with Malik Cunningham.
Okay. People say that say we have average linebackers. Like
no, our linebackers are excellent at being linebackers.
I agree. There's people that say, oh, I can't wait to get Halfley's guys in here. Shut up. Like Richardson and McDuffie are two of the better linebackers in the country. And, you know, we're going to, you know, realize we didn't appreciate them once they're gone. But point being, and we're not smart enough to figure out why, you know, these quarterbacks keep running all over us or how we're going to fix it, whether we need to do, you know, have a D-back playing spy, whatever the fix is. You know, it's.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
It was Cunningham, it was Hendon Hooker, it was Ian Book, and now we got Armstrong with UVA that can run the ball too. So it's something we got to figure out sooner rather than later, because that just continue to extend drives, and that's a killer. So, but overall, this is an overwhelmingly positive reaction. You know, the fact that we're 6-4 is another one.
Amazing.
I don't think people realize how big of a deal that is. Three out of our four losses are against top 17 teams, including two that are in the college football playoff. You know, we haven't had that big upset yet, right? Which is maybe, you know, somewhat disappointing. We've been in the mix, obviously, for a couple of them, but we've won every game we're supposed to win, or at least we're in the hunt to win, which really hasn't happened since the TOB era. So I think that's a big one. The fact that Halfley's come in and beat who he needed to beat and taking care of business hasn't been pretty all the time, right? You think about Texas State, Syracuse, et cetera, but, you know, the guy wins ball games. So can't say enough about that. We have a chance to go 7-4. And like we said, first time above 500 since 09, potentially, if they can pull off the win this weekend.
Yeah, that's a wild stat, especially when you throw in the fact that now Notre Dame is counting towards a conference win-loss record, and they're, you know, one of the best teams in the country, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not just a normal throwaway. So that's absolutely remarkable. Matt, you talked about the linebackers there. I'm going to use that as a segue to one of my half-full, half-empties. As we all know, Mark Herzlich, one of the greatest Eagles of all time, on the field, off the field. Amazing story. College Game Day in 2009.
We should call this the 4th and Mark Herzlich podcast.
I'm just saying, okay, we all love him for what he did while wearing maroon and gold. And if you're not from the Boston area, you love him for, you know, the Super Bowl and all that other good stuff. Matt, I have never met a human being in the world that has rooted against Boston College more than Mark Herzlich does when he announces BC games. It is like amazing how, like, it is legitimately like if you and I were the color commentators for Notre Dame games, mm-hmm. and just how much we would root against every single play that they do. That's like what he did. Like the CJ Lewis catch, one of the best catches of the year in college football. Within about 2 seconds, he was like, oh, that's definitely offensive pass interference. Like, are you kidding me? He had about 15 different instances of this last Saturday. And again, I've mentioned this throughout the season. I keep banging this drum, but For all of our sakes, his and ours, get him off of BC games. He clearly either hates us now or he is completely overcompensating by trying to not seem biased. But either way, it's too much for me to handle. And something just needs to be done in Bristol for that. So that's one of my half full, half empties. Again, love the guy, love everything that he stands for, but just get him off of BC games.
This is what we need, an intern badly. We need someone that, and if you're a current undergrad, reach out to us. You could probably throw this on your resume. It won't look that bad. Only if you have nothing else, obviously. We're not going to pay you. We'll pay in koozies. But I would like someone to go through the games and go through all the challenges, like all the official reviews, and tabulate all the ones that Herzlich said it was anti-BC. Like the call went the other way. Because he, every single time, and he's always wrong. Every time it's it goes BC's way, and he's always like disappointed. There was a, you mentioned the CJ Lewis one. There was another one where the Louisville touchdown got called back, and he was like visibly upset about it.
It's when he hit the pylon. Yeah, yeah. He was like, no, that's definitely a touchdown. That's the clearest touchdown I've ever seen. He might as well have walked right in. Yeah, no, I don't know what it is. I don't know who has hurt him in this administration. Or again, if he's maybe just trying to be, you know, as professional as he can be. Like Doug Flutie calls Notre Dame games, and he's not super anti-Notre Dame, you know, for the most part in mm-hmm. those calls. So you can do it. You just got to be normal. I don't know. It's insane to me. So that's something just to keep an eye out for throughout the remainder of Herzlich's broadcasting career. Matt, a couple other quick half full, half empties. So I will say half full. We've officially made it a full season without wearing the official home jerseys, like the mm-hmm. ugly maroon diagonal stripe, whatever they are. We've gone full throwbacks and or red bandanas throughout the entire year. There's obviously a chance we wear the official away jerseys at UVA on Saturday, but you know, whatever, if we have one game without the white throwbacks, I can live with that. So just a great job. I would have thought there were some contracts with Under Armour that like we have to wear the, you know, A1 jersey at some point, but thank God that is not the case. Good riddance there. We should talk about, we haven't talked about the new contract.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I also think that Under Armour has committed fraud any way you can slice it.
Sure.
And I think that if they tried to enforce their will on any type of contractual obligation, BC could just say, oh, hey, look at this fraud byline in the contract. You're violating that because you guys stuffed the channel left and right. And, you know, we won't take you to court, but we're going to wear our throwbacks. I think that's what's happening unofficially, off the record. That's my personal opinion of what's happening. But yes, more importantly, we're now a New Balance school. I'm kind of thrilled about it, Matt, especially if it actually is correlated to the new the basketball facility announcement. I don't know if there's anything related to that or not.
I didn't even think about that. I don't think that's the case, but that would be awesome.
What do you mean?
I would guess that they're using the what's the like the Pine School or whatever, the new school they just bought like a year ago, deeper mm-hmm. into Newton. I would assume that's going to be like the basketball campus. If they were going to put it at the Celtics and Bruins area by New Balance, that would be amazing, but I don't know.
You want our guys traveling out to where off the pike? Like in, it's like Worcester.
No, it's absolutely not Worcester. It's like literally like 5 minutes down the road.
It is by Newton. It is by Newton. You're right.
It is outrageously close.
Yeah. It's far away. Like if you're in the
it's
north,
near the,
it's kind of far,
I think it's kind of near the Party City, right? There's a Party City over there. Oh no. What's the liquor store? Martinelli's. It's near Martinelli's.
It is not. Martinetti's?
It's right near Martinetti's, I think. And the IHOP.
On Watertown? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like pretty much in Watertown.
I think either way, that's not where it's going. I also don't think it's going
on campus. I don't know what you're.
It's going on the Pine School. I think it's going somewhere either on like near Beacon Street, near the Beacon Street garage. That's not right. That's where
there's a garage there. Yeah.
They might just knock down Connie and then just try and start over. Like you don't need that much land for a basketball facility. Or there was also, I think, a plan at some point to, we don't know. No one knows. But hopefully I would hope it's right on campus. But
I would too. It just feels like we've kind of, I don't say run out of room, but like where would you put a full basketball practice facility right now on the real campus? Obviously you do Brighton campus, but at that point, like I think the New Balance thing to your point of like putting it at the Celtics and Bruins facility, which is basically at New Balance headquarters, would be really cool and a great recruiting tactic. Hey, you're now practicing next to the Celtics.
This is not going to be a good thing to say. Hey, Matt, maybe they put the Lynch School on Newton and they just build the basketball facility there. What do you think about that?
I have no comment.
Okay.
Real quick, Matt, quick MFK, Mary F. Kill. This has gotten, this has been a controversial topic on this show in the past, but I would love to just get your thoughts because you mentioned it. Enron, Under Armour, Rudy. You have the Mary one, you have the F one, you have the Kill one.
Wow. I can't kill them all?
No, you can't. It's not allowed.
All right. I'll say this about Enron. Enron at least opened our eyes to all the problems that were ongoing in the accounting world. So if I have to, I'll go ahead and marry them.
Wow.
It feels wrong to say.
That's how I mean, they're like the gold standard for fraud.
I'm killing the other two. You can't make me choose. So okay. Rudy's dead, though. Rudy's dead 101 times out of 100. So
yeah. Switching gears a little bit here, Matt. So my last two more half full, half empty. So half full, half empty recruiting. We don't talk a lot about recruiting on this show just because it's frankly tough to keep up with the lives of high schoolers at our age.
Matt, while we're on New Balance, I feel like the tweet that we had was really funny. The Air Force Odeos. Like, really, that's funny. Funny tweet.
I mean, Eddie Odeo, he's just like us. He really is.
That's a New Balance guy through and through.
He loves pop punk. He loves New Balance. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Can you imagine him throwing down absolute hammers in those dad shoes? Like, it would be legendary.
Yeah, I do want to know too that, by the way, that they did say Adidas is going to do the football uniforms, which is cool. I think Adidas does a good job in general.
Who do they do? Miami, and I guess is Louisville. I think.
They are. Yeah, I mean, New Balance does nothing. New Balance doesn't. I mean, they did Liverpool soccer for like 2 years, and that's, I don't think, the case anymore.
Yeah, it's gonna be comparable to Under Armour, right? It's not gonna be Nike. It's not gonna be that cool, but I don't know. Hopefully, they do something with throwbacks. Obviously,
well, the thing is the fact that we get FaceTime, because now we're the only school that does it versus being, you know, school number 30 in Under Armour's portfolio. You get here's what we're gonna make for you. Now it's at least, you're the only client we have. We'll make literally whatever you want. Jason Baum could go over there on a Monday and design brand new uniforms ready to go on a Saturday. So our there track, is that.
You're a cross country guy.
I am.
Our track program's probably going to go to the moon now with New Balance sponsoring. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, I was always more of an ASICS guy, but you could kind of go either way. Matt, I do feel like we've spent a little too much time on this. So I'm going to switch to my final half full, half empty, which segues into our next conversation. Okay. So the half full is Hoops is back. In general, this is a lot of half full and half empties here because it's kind of a roller coaster. So, Matt, what if I told you that we were, I think, a bucket away from beating the number 3 team in the country, an old rival?
At what point were we a bucket away? We lost by like 12.
Okay. We were like within two, like within 90 seconds.
Okay. We had the lead at one point. Like, that was exactly. Sick.
Okay. Anyways, came back two nights later. We beat a solid URI team. Agree that beating URI post Danny Hurley is not necessarily anything to brag about, but a win's a win. Matt. And then we came out two nights later, and we were down by about 100 points to a mediocre St. John's team. We fought back, which was great, but of course we lost. Gave up, again, 100 points to a team that, you know, was held under 60 by a high school team like the week before. Mm-hmm. Does that overall to you, are you more half full or half empty on where things stand on the hardwood? I know the answer, but I have to ask.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with that. Yeah, Villanova game, obviously, Villanova, you know, played as bad as they could have. You know, I think it was the rust probably from the offseason. And it was exciting for a little bit. You know, our guys were hitting big shots, and it was exciting. But it was a moral victory, and it was really squandered away by bad coaching. And Jay Wright, you know, put his good coaching pants on the last 5 minutes, realized who he was up against, and just outcoached JC. And it was pretty clear. We just panicked, and this is a recurring theme. We just panicked in the last 5 minutes and started playing hero ball, and it's because JC doesn't have any cohesive offensive game plan other than I'm going to recruit the best guys, and the best guys that he can recruit are not ACC competitors across the board. There's a few of them, but his philosophy is just, you know, play basketball, and we're not going to have any type of identity. We're not going to run an offense. It's kind of the opposite of Skinner. You know, what worked at BC when Skinner was here was, all right, well, we're not going to recruit better athletes than the UNCs and the Dukes. But, you know, we can have a better offensive mindset, and we can stick to our game plan, and we can out-fundamental the other team. And, you know, I don't care what Jim Christian does, but it can't just be our worst five guys than the opponent just go play basketball. That's just not a recipe for success. And when that happens, you know, we don't really have a clear number one on this team. Maybe it's Tabs, maybe it's Heath. The grad transfers seem to think that it's them. People were just jacking up 30-footers at the end of the Villanova game. It was really the same thing with URI, and it was certainly the same thing with St. John's. Our biggest problem is we can't score points consistently. This is our biggest problem. We can't stop a nosebleed on defense.
That's the biggest problem, 100%.
We have no interior defense, no rim protectors. The guards are not all that interested in playing D. In St. John's, it was embarrassing. And St. John's, this is a program that is, you know, historically in the gutter, as everyone knows. And, yeah, maybe they might be okay this year. But, you know, we don't know. But what we do know is we've been doing this for 7 years. Nothing's changed. It's the same old Jim Christian. And I can't believe, like, if it was you and me, like, at our normal corporate jobs, and, like, we did this, what's the equivalent of doing this for 7 years? Like, I can't, like, how do you get it wrong for 7 years and still have a job and get paid $2 million to do it? I don't care. I haven't cared the last 4 years. There's no point in caring. There was a time when I did care, when I was, you know, the Jared Dudley days up through, you know, up through the Donahue days and even the early days of Christian. I gave him a chance and, you know, it's just the same old shit. And a bunch of people love this job, and the fact that we won't budge on them, I don't know what we're doing, and I think Kraft will, but it's too little too late. It's, you know, it's been, you know, 5+ years of the same bullshit, and I'm sick of it, and I think everyone else is starting to get sick of it too, and that's that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think from strictly an interest perspective on the fan side, when you even see it on, you know, Twitter on a game day against the number three team in the country the night before Thanksgiving, you know, which, you know, everyone's home. That should have been a game that had as much Twitter traffic the same way it does, you know, as a football game, right? And like we saw against Louisville, like, I mean, Twitter is just everyone's talking about it. And now there are literally like 5 accounts, and credit to those guys because they're diehards and they still actually have the stomach to watch this program day in and day out, which is like, that takes a lot of intestinal fortitude.
But you and I are diehards too. I
just don't care enough. I don't care enough to tweet about it. I don't care to talk about it because I'm so disappointed at this point that I just know. And again, that we're playing a number three team in the country, an old Big East rival, Jay Wright. Like, that should have been something that everyone was the entire BC community was in on. And by the way, like, it's not like we got blown out by 50. We were in that game the entire time. And it was just, I don't think, it just felt like everyone just didn't really care. And that's not, I don't think anyone's fault on our side of the fence, because I think that that's the fact of the matter of we've seen 7 years of this. And at no point, I don't think, and maybe, I mean, correct me if you disagree, but at no point did anyone really think we had a chance to win that game, even when we were up or when we were down a bucket, you know, with a minute left.
Or more importantly, and I agree with that, but more importantly, even if we did win, so what? It's not like we're going to string consistent wins together.
Sure.
And I guess that's, you know, that's the bigger point is, you know, we might have a couple nice wins a year, and obviously they scheduled this gauntlet for to say that we had a couple big wins, and maybe a couple big wins happen, and the other team has an off shooting night, but I can't, unless you make a tournament this year, and you and I are diehards too. Like, we were there in Connie every single game when we were in school.
Except for the one we got kicked out of the Providence game, like 5 minutes in.
Oh, you got kicked out.
You came with me. You appreciated it. But
did I?
Yeah, you left with me.
But anyway, I mean, even, you know, we made the trek over from the North End, you know, a couple years,
right,
you know, postgraduate too. And you know, we want to care about this team, but the fact that they won't let us. Like, right. It's not like we're just fair weather fans here that want a winning program. We just want a program that's going to try. That's it. And it's not asking a lot. And, you know, I'd hope that Kraft wants to put his stamp on this program sooner rather than later. We did see that when he was at Temple, he did he got rid of that old guy that was there, Phil Martelli. Nah, is it Martelli? I don't know.
Fran it is Duffy, an Italian plus. Name. It's Yeah, Fran Duffy. That's so not, he got, that might not he, be Italian.
I don't know either, but he pulled the trigger on someone, got some backlash for it, but it was also, you know, time for that coach to go. And so hopefully he doesn't have, you know, patience with Christian, because every single year the same optimists keep rolling around and saying, hey, you know, we got depth this year, or hey, we got this player this year. If this grad transfer is, you know, All-American, then we're going to be really good this year. And it just never happens. So just change it up, hire anyone else. I don't care who it is. Just do something. And that's hoops until further notice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the key, like you mentioned. Like, I disagree with you earlier saying that, you know, we don't really have the talent. I actually think this is his most talented team that he's had, maybe with one exception. But I mean, Felder, Heath, Tabs, the Langfords, Dickie Buckets, like, these are good players that he has brought in.
Felder looks great.
Right. And obviously that's a big credit to Spinelli, but you know, we saw he had Bowman, he had Robinson, and he wasn't able to do anything with it. Like, why are we expecting now, you know, you give him the Duke roster, and sure, I guess with the Duke roster, he'd probably be able to make a tournament, but he'd be limping in, right? Like, he wouldn't be a top 25 team. So it is a certain point of like, yeah, things are it's certainly not the player's fault. We're bringing in good guys, and he's just not able to do anything with it. So I don't know why at this point there's any sense of giving him another game, because it's like, you know, you could almost make the argument, if it was a bad football coach in his first year, all right, well, it's not his guys yet. Let him get some classes in. These are his guys, and these are the best guys he could imagine, really, and he's still not able to do anything with it. So I think, I mean, again, I think the reason that, you know, obviously the reports last year were that MJ wanted him gone, but Leahy said no because of COVID. I don't know if COVID had really been a thing at that point, but in general, he didn't want to spend the money, and they really wanted to wait till a hoops facility was in place to give them the leverage. Now that Rothstein says that's here, like we talked about, so you just have to assume that you know, this is about as lame duck as it gets, and we're just all trying to grind through it until we get, you know, the next guy in.
Yeah, no question. And last point on this, and let's talk UVA. So COVID hit last year, and it's a good point. So we were one of the only teams in Power Five that had been eliminated because all the conference tournaments had halted. But we obviously lost first round. Was it Syracuse? Who cares? Wake, maybe? I don't know. But in that game, it was Sean McDonough that basically quote tweeted us on national television and said, "Yeah, some accounts are saying that."
Oh yeah, remember that when we got that wrong?
Yeah, Jim Christian has alerted the donors, or no, Martin Jarman, sorry, has alerted the donors that they're looking for a new basketball coach.
I stand by that reporting, by the way.
Yeah, we had a bona fide source, and it was legitimate, and fully believe that it happened. But by then, COVID, it was obviously happening, and we know that how much COVID has hurt kind of higher ed. You see all these schools that are cutting costs, and maybe it wasn't feasible for BC. I kind of think that it's not feasible for them to continue this level of ineptitude because they're just leaving TV ratings and fan concessions and ticket revenue when COVID goes away. It's got to be costing millions of dollars in opportunity cost with what it would be to have a winning program. That's my thought there. I don't think COVID should have been the excuse. You saw what Wake did. Wake went and hired someone for $1 billion. And that's what you got to do if you want to compete. We have the practice facility. Can we get a coach?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you nailed it. And I don't think there is anything else that needs to be said, because at this point every night they go out, we hope they win, and that's all for the best, but you just can't set your expectations too high, because it's only going to eventually come crashing down.
Another intern. I'd like the intern to also compile.
It's a busy intern, man. I mean, he's got like school and social life to balance too. He can't just do Fourth and Dude work all the time.
Yeah, it's true. I'd like to compile the number of 10+ nothing runs that we've given up, because it has to be more than any other team in college basketball history over the Jim Christian tenure.
Yeah, but
it's just incredible. We get zeroed out for minutes at a time. It's wild.
Yep. I'm getting depressed. So let's talk about UVA. Or is there anything else you want to throw in beforehand?
I had a note on COVID. Let's talk COVID real quick.
Sure, let's do it.
J-Bomb tweets it out every single week. Just can't say enough good things about what Halfley's doing with COVID. And everyone on this team is obviously very accountable. And, it starts with the seniors and the leadership on this roster. You know, these guys are obviously playing for each other and all that stuff that we keep saying. 8,000 tests, I think it is, with one positive result. And that was over the summer. It doesn't really count. We're seeing schools like, Michigan is in the news, right? COVID is rampant through their program. They're getting bad press saying, they're just saying that to duck Ohio State. You're seeing Florida State that keeps making schools travel to Tallahassee only to cancel the game in the final second, most notably Clemson last week, I think it was. So Norvell's getting a lot of hate for that. And by the way, we're so dumb. Remember our coaching candidate podcast like a year ago?
Yeah.
Where we said, oh, yeah. Yeah, Norvell's our number one candidate.
No, I never. Nope. You can check the tapes. Okay. Get our intern to check the tapes. I never was that high on Norvell. When I saw the picture of him in the dreadlocks, that's like your type of – that's your look, the bleached dreadlocks. But I was like, this guy is trash, and he's a bad coach, and I want nothing to do with him.
But I took that back as soon as I listened to the first Halfley press conference, not even when he was named BC coach. But once I started doing research on Halfley, I realized I kind of fell in love with the guy. So in my defense, but yes, there was a time where those guys were 1A and 1B. And holy cow, did we luck out picking the right guy, because Halfley's doing everything right. Half of Norvell's team's in the transfer portal. And it's just great to have Coach Half. Can't say enough good things about this team and all that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think especially, so I'm pulling up the most recent tweet right now. Per the Heights, there were 28 new cases on campus, and that's about consistent pretty much what it's been week over week. So the fact that the football team has stayed out of it, I think speaks as much to the players as anything else. Like, it's on campus, so it's a matter of, what mod party are you going to? I mean, I'm sure mod parties look wildly different right now, but there's still an element there of holding each other accountable and not wanting to, ruin it for everyone else. So that's a great job. I will say, we've avoided, for the most part, any disruption to our schedule, which is pretty remarkable. Obviously, Louisville was like snip snap on, started on the Friday night after Thanksgiving, and then it was pushed to like Christmas. And now it's obviously has come and gone. But the fact that it really hasn't thrown off our schedule is pretty remarkable when you see the ramifications that it's had throughout the country, but specifically in the southeastern portion of the country, even in the ACC. The fact that we've been able to get through a schedule virtually unscathed. I mean, there was a one day difference. It is amazing. And it's part of its luck not on our part. Part of it's luck on the schools that are on our schedules part that it hasn't kind of coincided. But, you know, overall, this has been as normal of a season as I think anyone for us, as I think anyone could have possibly imagined. So remarkable, remarkable stuff there. Definitely agree. And, you know, as much as, again, the basketball team, we obviously just gave our thoughts on, want to note that they also have had no cases. So kind of the same thing. It is kind of a BC athletics department thing.
12 players first, you know.
Oh, I agree. It's more impressive with football. Absolutely. And well, the game, no question. But I think it's, you know, you got to tip your hat. You're a doctor. You should appreciate this stuff.
I am a doctor. People forget that. Speaking of the basketball, one other thing I had in my notes, the timeout situation. That's just the most Jim Christian thing
ever. I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it.
Come on. We have
to. You can talk about it. I just can't. I can't do it anymore. It's just too much.
Oh, man. So St. John's is up by 3, I think. At that point, and there's what, a minute to go. I forget the exact circumstance, but I don't know if the power went out or they couldn't get the shot clock. But the refs were at the scorer's table for a good 5 minutes, and in that 5 minutes, with a minute to go in the game, less than a minute to go in the game, you would have thought that Jim Christian would have used that time with his team that you never get. Like, that's bonus time, and anytime you can get in-game time with your team, you try to set up the next few plays and go through the scenarios and make sure guys are doing the right thing. I don't know what they were talking about, but I've never seen a worse use of time in my entire life than what he and I just watched. You know, we just watched 7 years of Steve Adazio football. I've never seen clock management like that in my entire life. For that free throw where they make one of them and then they go down the court and immediately call a timeout, it was one of the most astonishing things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're out of timeouts when the Tabs debacle happened, where he gets stuck in the corner with 10 seconds to go and jacks up a shot with two guys' hands in his face. Timeout would have been nice to have there. It's always good to have a timeout in your back pocket in college hoops. And it's just, I don't know. He's always on the sideline just saying nothing. Like, he never says anything. That's like, he just stands there.
I think that's a big part that bothers me is, again, the general demeanor, right? No tie. Just generally doesn't look like he cares. It's just like, come on, man. Like, look at Jay Wright. And Jay Wright, you know, you could argue, I'm sure he has his issues, and I'm sure he's definitely kind of sleazy, but, like, looks great, cares, awesome. Is emotional. I mean, Jim Christian is just like, it's like we don't have a coach. Again, I don't want to go down this road. We're already at, you know, 45 minutes here.
But I can't stop talking about it. I'm, like, mesmerized by this guy. But yeah, like give me, you know, a fifth of the salary. I'll take that, you know.
Right. But that's the thing. Stand there. Matt, I'll do it for $50,000. I'll go do it. That's fine. It would be so much fun.
And you know what I'll do? Every time we go to practice, I will do nothing but free throw practice, and we'll automatically be a better team. And maybe I'll install an offense. And that's it. That's all you have to do. So the fact that we're in the most competitive basketball conference in the country, and everyone's like, oh, we can't get anyone better. This is as good as we could do. It's BC. There's no practice facility. Shut up. We can get anyone we want.
It's disgusting.
At a certain level. We see Wake do it. We see Virginia Tech do it. These guys rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. They've rebuilt three times a piece in the time that we've just, you know, been idle or really backtracking the last 7 years. That's it. I'm done. No more hoops talk ever again. Let's talk Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into Virginia, again, quick reminder from our good friends at Bet Online. The wait is nearly over. Football postseason is right around the corner. All the teams in college and the NFL are starting their stuff. You may not have been at a game this year, but you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online. Bet Online has gone the extra mile all season long to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable. From game spreads, totals, team, player, coaching, props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantages of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sports experts. And Matt, support for 4th and Dude, the Get In podcast, comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls, folks. That was the tagline of the first advertisement, and it is the season. It is time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Manscaped is a revolutionary company that has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so you can do all of your manscaping in peace. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. Their Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0. So they're just on the 3.0 generation across the board, which is convenient. It makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It is literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling nice down there. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the crop preserver mat, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. Mm-hmm. Speaking of sweaty things, I am thankful for the Crop Revival, Thanksgiving pun. This product, along with the crop preserver, keeps your down low from sweating, smelling, and sticking. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep you feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Matt, tis the season to manscape. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, all your male friends, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your jingle balls will thank you. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Clean up your nuts and make I was saying, clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Matt, let's talk QVA.
All right. On that note, wow, heck of an ad read.
That's it.
Pay some bills. I'll tell you, everyone on my Christmas list is getting Lawnmower 3.0, so don't buy that ahead of time if you're on my Secret Santa. So you can expect that in your stocking. Matt, let's talk UVA. They're 4-4. I don't know. What do you got? UVA is kind of UVA. Here's what I'll say about UVA. If you're one of those people that thinks UVA is just kind of this neutral opponent, we don't have any beef with them, think back to the 2005 game when that offensive lineman cheap-shotted Mathias Kiwanuka.
Yep.
We should tweet out that video because it's ridiculous. You know what I'm talking about, right? So Kiwi's got he's got that banged up ankle, and he's limping on the field but playing through it. And it's a tic-tacky game, but the offensive lineman, the play's over, and the offensive lineman just dives at Kiwi's ankles.
It's an all-time dirty hit.
Incredibly, it's the definition of a cheap shot. Al Washington, within seconds, who's a linebacker on that team in 05, pummels this guy, just shoves his face into the dirt. It's pretty awesome. But probably one of the dirtiest plays I've ever seen. It's up there with who's the hockey player that
Marty McSorley, Ty Bertuzzi. Yeah,
Who's the Marty guy?
Marty McSorley
that hit the
was
guy
the
brilliant
Ty Bertuzzi. Well, I think Marty McSorley did that also. I think you're thinking Todd Bertuzzi. No, Todd Bertuzzi hit a guy from behind. Marty McSorley is a Bruin who smacked a guy in the head with a stick.
No, it wasn't a Bruin. I didn't think it was.
Todd Bertuzzi was on the Canucks when they were in those blue and red jerseys.
Sean Avery? Was it Sean Avery?
Sean Avery's just like a weirdo, but I don't think he – I mean, he was a dirty player, but I don't think he has any like notoriously dirty hits. You're thinking Marty McSorley.
Yeah, probably. That's a top one dirty play. It very easily could have ended Kiwi's career. It was that dirty. We'll tweet it out to get the UVA hate.
You're absolutely thinking the Marty McSorley hit on Donald Brashear. I've got the clip up. He's skating by him slowly, and he just kind of basically whacks him in the head. He's just a gross guy. Whatever. Anyways, here's what I'll say, Matt. We talked earlier about the Vegas kind of lack of disrespect because you just see BC and Louisville, and you assume Louisville, they had a Heisman winner, and it's BC. I feel like college football fans in general often feel the same way about UVA, and I think you and I specifically, it's UVA. Like, what are they going to do? They're, an ACC coastal team who are, they're just nothing special. That said, on the Vegas side of it, we're 4.5-point underdogs, which to me makes absolutely no sense because you would think if you're just a, generic SEC fan, you would assume both these teams are pretty evenly matched at best, right? So that makes no sense to me. I agree with you that I think that it's easy just to sleep on them just because they're not a football school. They are a coastal team in general. There's not really a lot going on there. That said, I just think 4.5 underdogs is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and it opened at 7, I think, or 6.5, right?
And to be very clear, a lot of it, I'm sure, was Djurkovic concern and whether or not he's going to be healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, and even still, even if Halfley effectively said he's going to be ready to go on Saturday, barring a setback, but so now it's down to 4.5. But even still, no one's saying he's 100%. So that's part of it. And to your point, I don't think a lot of us saw UVA being a great team this year. Obviously they were the coastal champs last year, but they lost Bryce Perkins, who accounted for must have been upwards of 75% of their offense with between throwing and passing. That's the same thing there, throwing and passing.
Yeah, it is, Matt. Passing, sure is.
Passing and rushing. So knowing nothing else, you'd figure that they'd take a step back. They do have a couple of good defensive players. Charles Snowden, who I think is banged up, and I think he's actually out for the year. He's a guy that's going to play on Sundays. So, but in general, they've had a good season very quietly. They had a rough start. So they're 4-4, and they started out 1-4. Yeah, they started out 1-4, and they've won the last three straight.
Right.
So, and then you know, they lost a good team. So they lost to Clemson, NC State, who turns out they're actually not bad. They lost to Wake, who's another good team, in Miami. So all four of those losses are kind of quality losses. And they have a really good win over UNC. They were in a shootout with UNC a few weeks ago and beat them 44-41. So, you know, I think what Bronco Mendenhall is doing down there is legit. And I think these guys are the real deal. They don't have a great quarterback. They don't really do anything that great. The one thing they do well is pass protect. I think they got a pretty good O-line. And I think they lead the country, maybe, or at least the conference, in tackles for a loss allowed. So from that standpoint, it's kind of a matchup nightmare. Our D-line has not been able to get to the quarterback consistently. If there's one weak unit, it's probably the D-line. I hate to say it because they are great. But it's just we're undersized there. You know, we obviously backfill with some grad transfers, but that's probably the one unit that has some question marks outside of my guy Valdez. And Barlow's been great, and they've all been great at moments, but consistently getting pressure hasn't really been their wheelhouse. So, you know, from a matchup standpoint, that's a concern. And this quarterback, I don't know, why don't you Google, if you haven't already, Brennan Armstrong. He's like the prototypical. He looks like he would have gone to Syracuse instead of UVA. He's got a very hateable face. Big redhead.
Hang on, real quick. Anyway. Can we talk about Syracuse quarterbacks? Do you see the end of the game last weekend?
I didn't until I was looking, because
it was perfect. It came out right before BC, so it was.
I was busy. I was going tree hunting anyway. But I just saw it today for the first time, and
it was amazing. So first of all, we don't need to walk through the entire thing, but it was third and goal. Were they down a full touchdown, or were they down? They might have been down. Like a touchdown would have won it.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a full touchdown. Either way, third and goal from the around the 10 with like 20 seconds left. The one thing he obviously can't do is get sacked. What does he do? He gets sacked. He refuses to throw away. But even better than that, they are able to snap it on fourth and goal with like 0.5 seconds left. Rather than throw to the end zone, he spikes it on fourth down. Just amazing in Syracuse. And again, that's completely off topic, but I feel like we needed to cover that.
One, it was very Wake Forest.
Oh my God, this Brendan Armstrong guy is hideous. Yeah, he looks like the bad guy in Luck of the Irish.
That's a very quick reference for you to come up with that on short notice there. Matt, it was very reminiscent of the BC Wake 3-0 game. That's my first point.
Right.
And number two, what is it with you and people that have cancer and you're just bagging on them? Rex Culpepper, another guy that battled back from cancer, is on the football field. That's a weird shtick to have, man.
I'll be honest, I forgot about that one. So that's tough. All right. Sorry. Also, real quick, Sean Avery doesn't have any like historically dirty hits. He's a cheap shot artist. Like, he's just not that great of a hockey player, and he's kind of a coward. So a lot of kind of, you know, cross checks, you know, from behind, pushing people into the wall. But again, if you look at historically the dirtiest plays in hockey history, it seems to be pretty unanimous, at least on the three articles I've looked at. It's the Bertuzzi hit, and then Marty McSorley, who again slashed Donald Brashear in the face, or just basically whacked him with the stick. So that's probably what you were thinking, but again, neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think that's right. Not a big hockey guy. We're big Thatcher Demko guys, but we're not big hockey. Hey,
we swept
the hockey team.
We're 2-0. Yeah, let's mention that. Yeah. We're 2-0.
How about
that's
that?
Great. And I think UMass is like a top 10 team, right? So we beat them twice. We're the number two team in the country, maybe the number one team in the country.
Yeah, probably number one in my opinion.
Sounds like it. In my opinion, they're definitely number one, right?
Demko's look really good in net so far, so that's a positive.
Yeah, but if he falters, Parker Milner is right there to take his job.
Yeah,
so I feel good about that.
I'll tell you what. All right, so we started to talk about UVA. I didn't get very far. we talked about.
I'll be honest, Matt. That's about as far as I can get with UVA talk.
We talked about the dirty hit. That's important.
Yeah.
I'm going to set a calendar reminder to tweet that out. That'll get the fans going. That's going to go viral. I'm sure it's been tweeted out already, but if not, I'm going to tweet it out.
I got another note. This was the first ever, actually, I don't know if you were on this trip. It was the first ever 4th and Dude official road trip. It was the first ever, you know, we tried to make the annual road trip to an ACC game. This was the first road trip we made since the inception of 4th and Dude. All right, so you weren't there. But anyways, it was sick. We got this big house right off campus. We hung a bunch of BC flags from the deck, and we had multiple BC fans walking by, old, young, stopping by our front yard tailgate. Great time in Charlottesville. Charlottesville is a phenomenal town. I would love if they were in the Atlantic so we could have an excuse to go down there every other year.
Yeah, no question.
That's all I have on that, since you missed the trip.
Yeah, no, it's appreciate that. Yeah, I remember, you know, you guys all having a blast there, and I don't think I've missed one since. So something to be said for that. Agree though. Hopefully they get rid of the divisions, you know, once and for all, and then we play the teams like UVA. And I'm a big Chapel Hill guy. I'm a big Research Triangle guy. Go down for Chapel Hill or you know, even for Duke games and Durham.
I mean, Raleigh is awesome. Let's just call it what it is.
Raleigh was fun.
I hate their hockey team and I hate NC State as a school, but Raleigh was a fun town.
We had a blast down in Raleigh. That was great. NC State fans are just the worst. It almost kills the whole experience. All right. Last thing on Virginia, then we'll make our predictions and get out of here. As bad as the matchup is with our front four against their O-line, important to note that Jerko, couldn't remember his name, have Crissell in my mind. The reason it's such a big deal that Jerko is playing is because Virginia has the worst pass defense in the conference. They average allowing 275 yards per game. They've allowed over 275 yards in six out of their eight games. So that's a lot.
Not good.
So Jerko could feast, Zay could feast, Hunter Long get back in action, and then Gil and Lewis do the rest type of thing. So that's really the breakdown of the game is, and I think it could be a high scoring one, you know, just given that fact that their defensive weakness is our strength and vice versa. It could be a bit of a shootout. I see this, you know, going down to the wire. I have a lot of respect for UVA. I didn't realize how good they were until I looked at their schedule and saw that they really have no bad losses and only, you know, all their wins are really good. They beat Louisville by two touchdowns. Again, we talked about the UNC win. They haven't played in a bit, so they could be a bit. They were one of the Florida State casualties when Florida State canceled. So they haven't played since, I think, mid-November. So it's been a bit. So they might be a little bit rusty, but I don't know, rust versus rest, right? But hopefully Jerko's good to go. Hopefully Bailey's good to go. I think that's certainly big. Hopefully the O-line keeps playing strong, because I really do think we're going to have to put up some points. So that's the official analysis, Matt. You got a prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to go based on all of your analysis there. I've kind of computed it, and I like BC 41, UVA 26.
Yeah, I really like that score. Wow. I had BC 38, UVA 35. I think it's going to be a close one. Important to note, we've never lost UVA. We're 6-0 against UVA lifetime. I would like to keep that streak going. I don't want to lose to them. Kiwi revenge game, and let's get a W.
We're 1-0 in Charlottesville in the Fourth and Dude era. I think that's important to note as well.
I'll tell you what.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. A couple quick house cleaning notes. Just apologies for the season in general. I know we haven't been recording a lot. I'm going to blame myself, as everybody knows at this point. I am back at business school. The fall at business school is recruiting season, so just trying to get a job while I balance my podcast career. Basically, something just to keep the lights on before the podcasting pays the bills full time. So apologies. Next year, we'll be back. Recruiting is over in the coming months, so next year, we'll be back in full force.
I've had to cancel a couple. In your defense, I've also had to cancel a couple times.
Appreciate
I hit
that.
A deer once on the you night.
You hit a deer.
Record.
That was bad. Yep,
we
that
all,
was bad.
We all remember that.
Yep.
So sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah. The other thing where we failed is the koozies. So we bought the koozies. They're awesome. We have 100 of them. Out of those 100, I think I have about 85 still sitting in my apartment. I have not mailed a single one. JB, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. I'm going to probably mail like 20 to you in the athletics office within the coming week. Matt, I got to mail you some. You don't even have any. I haven't got the post to Philly yet.
Matt, it's horse shit that I don't have any koozies.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Because I paid for half of them.
You did. You deserve 50 of them. And then otherwise, again, we'll try to get them out to you guys. Honestly, like if you want some, DM us and like we'll pay you $5. Just pay for like the cost of shipping. I don't know what shipping costs in this environment, but I have to get rid of them. They are just taking up space in my apartment and I got to fit a Christmas tree.
Intern, if you're figuring it out, you would also control the mailing. That would be a big lift off our back. Dude, if I'm an undergrad, why not? I got nothing else to do. It's COVID. I'm going to sign up for the Fourth and Dude guy. Social media, we can give you a sick title, like social media director if you want. Like that's
we give really
cool.
good references too. Like you and I are good on the phone when we like have to talk to a professional capacity. So someone calls us asking for a reference, like we'll get you the job.
Yeah, especially if you're a CSOM guy, you're talking to two guys you want to talk to. So
yeah, math major, but I'm adjacent to CSOM, econ double major, not a big deal. So
yeah, but you're trying to join the CSOM world. So
yeah, business school. So yeah. All right. Anyways, that's all I have. Thanks again to our sponsors.
What an episode! Agenda free Wednesday. Tell you what,
yeah,
off the rails a bit, but I think it turned out okay.
I hope so. Again, we'll see. We'll see when this is released. Thanks again to our sponsors, Manscaped, BetOnline, Armchair 24/7, just everyone. What a season it's been so far, Matt. I expect it to continue on Saturday, and then we'll see what bowl season has in store for the Eagles.
We didn't even talk about the bowls. I did see a projection today from J-Bomb, Gator Bowl. That'd be kind of sick on January 1st, I think.
Yep.
So keep an eye emoji out. There. One quick thing on that. Why not? Why would you not pick BC? We're like the safest bet. We're immune to COVID.
Well, knock on wood, but yeah. You are a doctor, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, I emoji there.
All right, that's all I have, Matt.
All right, get in, folks.
To the motherfucking end. I got no pickup lines. I stay.